I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for KNC.
What?
The real KNC.
It's called the only KNC now, right?
Best producers in the market.
Morning show producers.
Curtis and Ken. I love those guys very much.
Podcast stars.
Oh, how do you not know that? And you'd be like, Curtis, idiot.
Lumpy. Come on, Lumpy.
Lumpster, you moron.
And now.
5:30 a.m. The real KNC to live radio every Monday, a half hour before the show.
Live on the air?
Live on the air. 93.7.
This place is going to drop in ratings.
Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on your radio.
I think it's a bad idea.
Here's Ken.
Can I just say something to you, Ken?
Yes, you can.
I love you.
And Chris.
Ken and Curtis aren't adults. They are sycophants. Both of them will try to make me look like an ass.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Yo! Let's get to it, week three. The real and only KNC, the M&C pre-show, Bluesman and Lumpy, Ken Laird.
Chris Curtis.
Happy Father's Day to John Curtis.
Oh, belated. Big weekend.
But, yeah, did you buy him anything, or did you?
He paid for dinner. We went to Grill 23. It was spectacular. He was doing well. He was a little under the weather in the hospital. Everything's going well now, so he's back in Boston. And
glad to hear he's out.
Yes.
And doing well.
Doing very well. Had an exciting dinner. He got the twin fillets. Couldn't even finish more than one of the twin fillets. He's like lost more weight than I have. He's around 200
pounds. The whole Curtis family is slim.
Yes, very slim, mean. How about you? How'd it go for you?
Good, good. I had three beers yesterday with the
Holy
best man
cow.
At my wedding in McGreevy's. They have these great spicy pickle chips. Unbelievable. It was a great afternoon. Watching Red Sox baseball in the
Epic.
Early stage of the U.S. Open.
Mutt's on his fourth beer right now.
Yep, and hey, tomorrow we are headed the entire Mutt and Callahan show to the Travelers Championship. Looking forward to not only tomorrow's show, where you and I get a starring role, a co-starring role.
Correct.
A minor role. Yeah. It'll be Mutt and Jerry. You and I will chime in here and there.
Well, Mutt's going to get the papers in the morning.
Yeah, Mutt's the third producer, as he always is. But we get to go to Cromwell today and have a little show dinner. We'll have drinks at 5, right? The bar opens at 5?
Free drinks, open bar in the lobby of the hotel we're staying at, which is Mutt's favorite thing. And Jay Gilbert's, the scene of the crime, this restaurant we went to 2 years ago, where we had this brilliant idea that we were going to record Drunk Mutt for the show.
Oh, right.
You were off.
I was on vacation for this.
And
it turned into a disaster.
Total epic failure. I record it. The only thing that you could audibly hear on the recording was salespeople discussing another host within the Entercom family. And this was played on the air. Zarbano was about to fire me on the spot. It was an epic failure. And that's where Jerry Callahan famously asked Ryan Garvin, who am I talking to right now?
Right. Garvin was in for me. He's now the OMF producer.
Correct.
3 years ago was Dino's last stand. I tweeted that picture out last week. I was there. You were not back yet.
No.
I was the lead producer at that time before you
briefly
usurped me as the lead producer.
Correct.
But it was Mutt between Jerry and Dino, and Dino was getting the nosebleed. He didn't want to come back to face Kirk the next day. So it was a wild time. So we'll revisit some of those memories, I'm sure, on the show. What an interesting weekend on WEEI. It's been a while since we've had weekend programming that gave us this much to chew on. Of course, today I'm sure we'll be talking about the Anthony Davis trade and Celtics, and Mutt will be ripping Danny Ainge or whatever. But let's go chronologically here. We had the debut of the Hart and James show on Saturday, and it lived up to the billing, I would say, in segment one. I'm not sure about after that, but it was a good opening and a good debut for Hart v. James.
It was excellent. There was some legitimate tension, and oftentimes in these cases, we build them up. Jerry gets very excited for some real actual tension between two people who legitimately don't like each other. And it was outstanding. Mark James was totally knocked off his game by Andy Hart, who provided evidence as to why he didn't like him. It wasn't just he didn't like him because he's bombastic or dumb or annoying, all of which are true. He ripped him for specific instances where he said that Gettleman was a racist because he didn't draft the quarterback from Ohio State, Haskins, and said he got the guy from Duke. He said that he was wrong and mistaken about a bunch of his draft takes, and he went right at him, and Mark James had no idea what to do.
I would agree. He put him on the defensive early, although it was, you know, he basically said, I've listened to you once. It was during draft week, and your draft show sucked. But you're right. He took it with the race angle, which James had no defense for. He just pivoted out of there as best he could. And then James went on the podcast attack, attacking Patriots.com and podcasts everywhere. Here's a little snippet of what was on Saturday.
I hosted the longest nationally syndicated sports talk show of all time. Like, more people know Jim Rome than a podcast on Patriots.com.
So your claim to fame is you know Jim Rome?
No. I actually don't know him, but I'm saying...
I worked alongside Tom Brady for 20 years. Okay. That doesn't mean I'm Tom Brady.
No, I know that, but I'm saying I actually hosted his show.
How many times? Once? Twice? Three times?
Probably like 30 times.
Great! Okay. I don't care. Okay. I never heard it.
But more people heard that, me interviewing Steph Curry on there, than they heard your Patriots.com pissant podcast.
Well, it's not a pissant podcast. Okay. I can tell you more people listen to that than you're probably listening
to
us right now.
Than Jim Rome?
No! Get out of the past! Who cares about you filled in for Jim Rome.
Wait a second. So, back up. Because you talk about stupid things.
Just because you didn't listen to a
more
podcast,
more people listen to a pissant Patriots.com podcast than WEI.
Pissant gets people in trouble in this.
No. Than WEI?
Right now? Yeah.
No. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So, score it.
Oh, that was 8 out of 10. That was a very, very good start.
But who won?
I would say that absolutely Andy Hart won that, without a doubt. Because if your defense, if your claim to fame, as Andy pointed out, is that you filled in for Jim Rome, I went
Mutt's
through the
impressed.
List.
That's Mutt's idol.
I Googled this on Friday. I mean, there are more people who haven't filled in for Jim Rome in the media than have. Maggie Gray, Damon Amendola.
Yes, Jim Rome.
The list
but
is
not
pathetic.
30 times. James filled in 30 times.
And then he even said he never even met the guy. He's just probably the only person that's available the morning of the 4th of July when everybody else says they're unavailable. They go, okay, Mark, you can fill in.
I think it's noteworthy. I think it should be on the James resume, the Marconi resume, but it should not be presented as like his main piece of evidence as to why he's the greatest thing in the world. You know what I mean? He puts way too much value on it.
It's his only thing. What else does he mention?
Well, Western Mass and,
Right, rap music. Yeah, right. I mean, Tupac would have been out of business
gambling
if he didn't
prowess.
Get money out of Springfield. But
yeah, I don't know. He goes through his whole litany of morning radio in Atlanta, and he hosts the radio in Charlotte.
Right, got autographs in the Mets locker room.
Right.
But I think the biggest shot against Andy Hart's performance, though, was that he kept mentioning how many global podcast downloads the Patriots podcast got. I mean, that was not exactly a great, sign on your resume to say that you get a lot of listeners in London to your take on Sonny Michel.
After that, though, they really got kind of sporty. So, you can't keep that up for 4 hours. There was no way that's going to happen.
No, and James, as you've noted a million times, is a professional pivoter. Like, yeah. He will get right out of that. Every time Andy Hart had him locked down because the Giants in the draft prior to this one took Saquon Barkley.
Right.
And there were many other players that they could have taken, Sam Darnold being the great example that the Giants really should have taken Darnold because that would have given them their quarterback of the future, but he took an African-American in Saquon Barkley. So how could Gettleman be racist? And Mark James had no answer to that.
No answer. That's why James wants to be by himself. He wants to take shots. He is proud of his attack of Dale in the crossover, calling him stale to his face. But really, that was kind of a one shot and out. And so he's very proud of that. He's overly proud of that, I think.
Right.
It's proven, I think,
stale
that James...
Stale Arnold.
Yeah, he's a little uncomfortable in head-to-head confrontation.
Yeah, and I think Dale would have, had Dale really been engaged in that segment, he could have destroyed Mark James because he had the, a million flubs that Mark James had made over the last, year or so that if Dale was really as invested as James was in that segment, that would have been the crossover of all time.
Now, the next day we had Bradford back in for the Bradford, Reamer, and Wiggy show, which was... that show is like electric football. It's just they're all over the place. It's just a total mess, as we
screaming.
Thought it would be. It was better this week with Bradfo than last week, which was uncomfortable. Reamer was much better. I think we properly inspired him, wouldn't you say? He was much more lively from the start. I don't know what time he arrived, John. Was he there before 8:59?
He was here at about, I'd say, 8:56-ish.
Wow.
Wiggy and Bradfo were here for like 20 minutes, and we were shooting the S in here while waiting for Reamer to arrive.
Part of that is Reamer doesn't want to admit that I've, challenged his professionalism, and I had a point, so he wants to be like fashionably late. I'm sure he was like in the car early and didn't want to come in right away.
Anyway, I'm sure he had notes.
Did he sound drunk to you?
No, he sounded
good?
very
good?
Sober. I've got a good ear for that. So yes, he sounded like he wasn't too hungover. It wasn't the Sunday following Pride Week. It was a pretty good performance by Alex.
But I sound like I'm drunk on the air. Please give me a break.
All right, forget that.
That's an insult to my professionalism.
Oh God.
Well, the main gist of our criticism was he doesn't want to do the show. Well, it's my criticism. You called him drunk, which, as an alcoholic, you can recognize one.
Correct.
That might have been a low blow.
Right.
But if it's true, it's true. Now, does he want to do the show? That was my point. He should be stripped off of there if he doesn't want to be a part of it. This was an embarrassing exchange between he and Bradford. He basically flat out admitted he's just punching the clock. He does not want to be part of this.
I think you need to go hotter at Ken and Curtis because they make you sound like you're lazy.
Yeah, they took it to you. Do you want to do this show? Do you want to do this show?
I do today. No,
do you want to do
this
show?
Throw it on the table.
Yeah, my name is on it.
Do you want to do this show?
Yes, I want to do every show.
No.
I did the overnight
show.
He's being fraudulent, Bradford. He's not going to answer.
Listen, you know, it's Saturday nights in Plymouth.
Listen, I'm saying, you know, when I'm dancing my face off at 2 in the morning, the first thing I want to do is wake up at 7:30 and see my friends Jermaine Wiggins and Rob Bradford. Of
so
course.
That's
Are
saying
you
that you don't
me?
You
that's
don't want to do this show.
He doesn't have the balls enough to just come out and tell the truth.
Just do you want to do the show?
Should I love doing the show?
No,
absolutely.
Now you're placating.
Today,
now
I'm
you're
ready.
Placating to Curtis Listen. And Ken because well, you know
I
they're
mean,
listening.
Once.
I would say that the Jim Rome fill-in show that Mark James cites all the time now. Alex Reamer's version of that is that he hosted the overnight show. He's going to mention that for the rest of time for how he's the freaking Zamperini of WEEI, that he did 2-6 following the Bruins' loss in Game 7.
Which is also embarrassing. That's after a potential title. You should be excited to do 2-6. Either way, they were prevented from winning a title. It's a huge spot, 2-6 a.m. You shouldn't view that as courageous.
And it wasn't punishment. It was none of that. It was the fact that you were the most talented person available, so I asked you to do it. Never put a gun to your head. I said, let me know. Get back to me. And he said yes, so we moved on.
Anyway, Reamer's back in today with the guys. I think we're on a better relationship this week than we were last week. He's not as pressured now. Wiggy's not in for the full week. Wiggy's on with Dale, or with Keefe, rather, here the next couple days.
Right.
But in general, he's a little bit afraid of us now because we've made it clear that we hold the fate of his radio future in our hands. So we push him around a little bit, and I think that's good.
Yeah, he's full of energy. Whenever you threaten him or you question any part of his professionalism, he loses his mind, which is outstanding. And I thought that there was a lot of energy there. I don't know if you want to get to it here, but the part of that show is this Rob Bradford idea.
The new Bradfo idea.
Oh, my goodness.
Which the dynamic between you and Bradfo and the program director is odd anyway.
So bizarre.
So any idea that Rob has, generally you and the PD are against.
Oh, I would say that I'm the buffer between those two gentlemen.
Yeah, okay. But you lean more towards Zambrano. You generally are anti-Rob.
Is that the perception?
That's my perception.
Oh, okay. I
think this is a good idea, but now it's going to be mocked and panned from the start by, well, I don't know. I will give you a fair chance to respond to it. We don't have enough time to get into it here, but we're going to do it on the other side.
Okay.
Just tuning in. This is live radio. This is the real and only KNC. Laird and Curtis, we are given the third straight week, the green light, to go live from 5:30 until 6. Mutt and Thierry are in today. Alex Reamer will join them. So we've got a big show. We'll be reacting, of course, to the Anthony Davis news. The U.S. Open, Gary Woodland the winner. Jerry was all over the coverage. He loved the Fox coverage.
Right. Gary Woodland's a great guy. Took care of a young girl.
And, of course, we'll be talking about Hart and James and Wiggy V. Reamer. We'll talk about Bradfo's big idea coming up. We've got a news update as well, and we're sponsored this week, Curtis. We're so big. We're brought to you by the Mercedes-Benz CLA with its turbocharged engine and exceptional price. Go from 0 to 60 in less time and for less money than you'd expect. Visit MBUSA.com for local inventory offers or to find your nearest dealer. More of the real and only KNC coming up.
This is Mutt and Callahan on Sports Radio WEEI.
The announcement is, after talking to many people involved in the morning show.
Is this going to be a fake announcement, Rob?
No, it's real. It's very real. Okay, it's very real. This is going to happen. Wiggy, you got to pay attention. Here. You're part of this. You, Alex Reamer, you, Jermaine Wiggins, and another guy, Mark James.
Yes.
You've been battling. Just battling.
You would admit even Mark James is beneath us in the morning show hierarchy.
So you all want to put an end to this argument. Who is the smartest, the most entertaining, the best?
This is my lot in life.
What
now.
We are okay. going to do?
What are we going
to
do
on June 27th, which is Thursday, right in the heart of presidential debate season? We are buying 3 podiums.
Okay.
We are having a formal debate.
All right.
With you 3.
We're back here on the Real and Only KNC. Just the look—if you could see the visual of Curtis—it's the head in hands, listening to Bradfo. His idea. This is a good idea. This is another solid Bradford idea. He's a good idea, man. You've got to give him that.
Great idea, man. Brilliant.
The great dummy debate with Reamer, Wiggy, and James. That is going to be a hit. That is going to be a viral social media event held at night at Lord Hobo, it sounds like, is the leader in the clubhouse. We need to get a studio audience there for live reaction. The winner, I think, gets a week on Mutt and Callahan.
All right.
I don't know who the judges are. And the week after that, nobody's here because it's 4th of July week. But
I have to be a judge because we are not doing a week of Mark James. So there is no chance he's going to win that.
But if you do it at night, you get insults. You get, you know, you can use any verbiage you'd care to. It's not FCC sanctioned. You can hit below the belt. I think that will be good. Now, Bradford doesn't want to do it up against a Red Sox game. I think that's flawed. I don't think we should do it on a Thursday. I think we should do it on the Wednesday or the Tuesday and just have it and then have the week to react to it because Jerry's not here on the Friday. But what are your objections to this idea?
My just initial objection, as with anything, is what's the angle here for Rob? Because that is always what comes to mind. Because
Rob wants a pat on the back. He wants you to praise him. Like right now, he's fuming that you are not buying into this idea.
In what way, shape, or form? I replied with a good idea.
Now, you and Zambrano replied with like, okay, we'll talk about it. Let's do it on the morning show, maybe.
Quite the contrary. I got the email Friday afternoon, and I said, I like it. What if, you know, whatever idea I had, I replied and sort of moved it forward. And then I got...
You basically trashed his idea and said, let's do it if it's part of the morning show. We don't want to do it at night, so why would we do it at night?
I never said those words. I think you're reading somebody else's email. I said, I think this is a good idea. We should have it be based around the morning show.
You want it on the morning show.
No, that the questions would be related to the winner would get some sort of a prize on the morning show, that it would be, I'm the smartest, I deserve to be. Why they each need to present the reasons why they should be the full-time morning show host alongside Mutt and Jerry, and that the questions would be relating to knowledge you would need to be a key member every day on this show.
And you'd have other categories. You'd sports, politics. We'd go through you don't have to limit it to just, one question.
Correct.
Questions from the audience. I think it's a good idea. I think it will work.
Right. Best background. I mean, Mark James would just talk about Jim Rome. It would be an excellent back and forth. I like it. But the reason why this is uncomfortable for me, one of the many reasons my role at this radio station is uncomfortable at times, is because I'm in the middle of the program director and Bradford.
Well, you're the executive producer. That's your job.
We are executive producers. And I believe that they are always, those two have these sort of passive-aggressive squabbles at all times.
True.
So
that's
it's
true.
Just an uncomfortable thing. But yes, that's how I stand. I think it's a good idea.
Part of this, too, is you're down on Bradford because he has not advanced the Ortiz story.
Oh,
silently, you're fuming that there has been nothing over the weekend, although the New York Daily News has some good developments.
Correct.
A story which you had... but not nailed down.
I had, but not nailed down Tuesday. I had all of this stuff basically last Tuesday. I have the text receipts to prove it. And the Boston Globe today, after a weekend, has one story in its newspaper. And it is Tiffany Ortiz praises Big Poppy for Father's Day. And if you read into any of this story, you understand that David Ortiz was likely, allegedly, according to reports, not the greatest dad over the past year. And I think that you have so many people who know everything that I've known, that know everything that is in this daily news story and are staying as far away from it as possible. And you have a newspaper that loves to stand on a soapbox and lecture others about the damage of ripping the media, not allowing the freedom of the press, how the president of the United States is at war with the freedom of journalists to do their job across the country. And yet when it's at their doorstep, when it's on there, when it's covering something that is uncomfortable for them to be in the light, they have no part of covering it.
Well, I will say, I mean, the Globe had, 10 people on the story, as Jerry pointed out. He gave them credit for the attention they're giving to
right.
it, if not certain places, of course, they're not going to go. But nothing over the weekend. They just take the weekend off is bizarre, the lack of advancing yesterday.
That's true.
Now, we have a very interesting guest at 8 o'clock today, which you have booked.
Right.
Eddie Dominguez, do you want to remind folks who this is?
So Eddie Dominguez wrote a book called Baseball Cop. He was in the securities aspect of Major League Baseball for years. He is a longtime, lifelong member of law enforcement who has seen the underbelly of baseball stars and specifically within the Dominican Republic. And he had some notes in his story regarding this gentleman, Manga, who was had a gambling ring going on and had some seedy ties to Ortiz and others within baseball. And he has
in Ortiz's camp, somebody who was connected to gambling on baseball.
Correct. So, yes, that's his background.
Which David wants to distance himself from, obviously. And I think he did respond on social media shortly thereafter
right.
saying, this is I'm not involved. I would never bet on the game, blah, blah, blah.
There was an excerpt from that book in the Boston Herald, and then it disappeared. I mean, it was like overnight because Eddie was, I think, pretty seriously threatened by Major League Baseball. And there was no real desire by the local beat writers and others, especially at the Boston Globe, to further that story. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say this morning. And I think that the story is going to continue to evolve. At some point, the motive will be covered in the Boston Globe. I'm just not sure when.
And so is the motive tied to money, gambling, drug connections, just jealousy? What's the motive? You know,
right.
We're trying to nail that down. So I think we will advance the story at 8 a.m. this morning. I am looking forward to that. And, you know, the awkward part of it is Ortiz is recovering. You want him, obviously, everybody's concerned about his well-being. He's still in intensive care, as you've pointed out, from a guy who's been in ICU. He's not out of the woods yet.
Exactly. Oh, it's the fact that you're still in intensive care does not mean you're out of the woods by any means.
And Eddie Dominguez, you would say, generally does not have a favorable view of Ortiz. So, you know, you bring him on, he's not going to be... I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say that. He's got some insight, which they've now become enemies, based on what he's reported.
Right. And I think that he knows people, some of the same seedy characters that may have had a role in the unfortunate shooting of David Ortiz. And I think he has some pertinent information that I think will be relevant to the story.
By the way, I forgot to mention, Wiggy had a new program lineup, which he presented over the weekend. Tremendous. He has me with Christian and Lou as his ideal 2-6 show, and he's got Glenn with Lucy 6-10, which I like. I think it's a good idea. We should all get behind this.
Epic show. I love it.
And, of course, Wiggy's full-time with us in the morning. This may be Reamer's last show with
Ortway Martin Callahan. Lucy's is morning drive?
Nights.
Oh, nights. Okay. Yes. Excellent.
And, of course, Wiggy's on from 6-10. But Reamer's in today. We'll see if he's got the fire today. He's back with the boys. You know, Mud is back after his Friday off. So looking forward to this. And we're going to react to Anthony Davis, the Ortiz latest. Of course, U.S. Open, OJ on Twitter. Much to get to today on Mutt and Callahan.
Yes, sir.
And Chris Curtis with headlines. That's it. In the books. The real and only KNC, Episode 3, the Mutt and Callahan pre-show. Mutt and Callahan coming up shortly.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.